It's good to see everybody here this evening. Hope you've had a good day today. It's been a busy summer for many of y'all, and I know it's kind of nice just to come in and be able to enjoy the peace that we have here and the fellowship that we have here. If you looked at the bulletin this morning or this evening for that matter, you'll notice that we have a new Bible reading within the contained on the back page, and I just wanted to explain that a little bit. We have read through the New Testament so far this year. We've studied through the New Testament so far this year, and we have read through the Old Testament this year. And now we're wanting to study through the Old Testament. And so you'll see it split up into four chapters a day for the first part. It'll ease back to three in just a little bit, but the study is the same as the New Testament as far as the approach to it. And essentially this: if you can get you a notebook or something like that that you are that you like, and pick out several main categories that you're interested in. I when we read the Old Testament, I'm thinking that the power of God, the holiness of God, and the one Bible story are excellent places to start with that. There's prophecies, the messianic prophecies that point to Jesus that are excellent, but really it's your study. And so whatever you are interested in, just take it and use it as best you can. I would encourage you to do that. If you don't have another method of study that you prefer, I think it'll be something that you'll be pleased with that you did. But again, encourage you to take part in that. And if you do this particular one, I would for sure put the holiness of God down as one of the key parts that you'll study on that. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn over, we're going to start in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Some of the most comforting words within Scripture. It says, "Come to me," Jesus is talking here, "come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest." You ever get weary and burdened? You still think you're going to be able to continue with what you're doing? I think sometimes we have that from the things we do to ourselves. We overload our schedule, we get too ambitious with different things, and we burden ourselves down. But there are also times where we have burdens that come from the outside, and things that we have to deal with that maybe other people are not having to deal with. Things that may not seem fair, and in fact from that standpoint aren't fair, because sin has consequences. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest." There are times in our life where we just get wore out. I was talking to Carolyn before services tonight. I'm really ready for this time to be here. We have been, it seems like, going like mad since about early March. A lot of the things that we have been doing have been really good things, things that we've been looking forward to, things that we've been wanting to do. But the schedule has just gotten so insane that there's a physical weariness. But that physical weariness is one thing. It's good to be tired from time to time from doing honest work. But there is a mental weariness that comes upon us sometimes, and a spiritual weariness that we don't need to bear for too long. And that's why Jesus says, "Come to me. I will take that." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." I like that promise. You will find rest for your souls. If you and I will come to Jesus, we will come in His way. We will find rest. It's a guarantee. And isn't rest an enticing thought when we get weary and burdened? And then He says, why? "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's as if we're carrying a backpack with a ton of weight on the back of it, and Jesus is offering to exchange it to us, not for no burden, but for a burden that's reasonable, a burden that's manageable, something that we can handle. And something, when you think about it, is very pleasant because it's from God. It's the life He's designed. It's the burden that He expects all men to carry on their own. And what a difference between the rightful burden and the burdens that we either place upon ourselves or that someone else has put on us. Next passage I want to call your attention to is Psalms chapter 1. I have enjoyed the book of Psalms for a long time. There were, I suppose, years and years where I didn't really pay much attention to it. It seemed in ways just kind of like a book of poetry. I knew that it was inspired, but it didn't really, it wasn't the most important book in the Bible to me. And the more I read it, and the more I study it, and the more I see the men who were inspired to write it, and the truths that we have from God's Word, the more I appreciate the Psalms. I start just about every morning with a chapter from the Psalms. The only time I vary that is when I'm reading from a chapter from Proverbs. And while there are other times I use during the day for my daily Bible reading, there is something about starting the day with the Psalms that just kind of puts you at ease. It's written by men who love the Lord. It's written by men who realize His power and His ability. In Psalms chapter 1, it says this: "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law he meditates day and night." We spend way too much time with the opinions of men. And by that, I'm not suggesting we don't read books and that we don't seek out other people's advice. I think that's wise to do that. But I think it's also wise to compare it to the Word of God and see if it's consistent with the Word of God. Because if it's not, it's probably not worth reading or listening to. But when we talk about the counsel that is worthwhile, that will never let us down, that will always help us with whatever situation we're in, we're talking about this counsel right here, the Word of God. And the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, in other words, those who are opposed to God, who say the exact opposite of what God says. And we're seeing that more and more. We're having conflict with men in God. We have people that will tell us, "You keep God separate. We don't want that to come out into public." I was just talking to a couple of our paramedics before the football game this week, and if you've been following our football team, you know they have been decimated. It doesn't seem like they can step off of a curb without getting a major injury. and we were just chatting and. And we were talking about the prayer that we have before the beginning of the ball game. And I said, "You know, we hadn't had a serious injury out here that I can remember since we started praying again before ball games." I'm not saying that praying before ball games is the most important thing in the world. But it has struck me that whenever we have asked God to be with us and to watch over us, how consistently He does that. We know it's His will, whether or not somebody has His protection. It may be a special protection, but He still offers it to us. Why would we pray otherwise? But when I said that to the paramedics, after I just mentioned, you know, we hadn't had a major injury since we started, they said, "Ooh, don't say that. Like, you'll jinx it." And so I just chastised them for being superstitious. I said, "You gotta have faith." I want to say again, I realize full well that just because we pray for something does not mean that God is bound to give it to us. But I do want to ask you the question, why do you pray? Do you expect Him to answer your prayer in the best possible way? Or is it like, be careful, don't do that, don't get carried away? When we talk about the power of God, and we talk about His Word, and our delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law we meditate day and night, it changes us. Because our attitude is right, our spirit is right, our thoughts are right. You know how it is when you get worried about this or worried about that, and you're just roiled up in your spirit. You can't even sleep. You try and you might pray for it for a second, but then you immediately grab back your worries, and you toss and you turn, and you worry about this and you worry about that. When we talk about meditating on God's law day and night, it calms us. It's the perfect advice for every situation. We know that God guards us, and because of that, we praise His name. And that's one of the great things about the Psalms, is those who have written it, mainly David. I guess David's probably written about half of it, and the rest of it by different authors, and then quite a bit, we're not told exactly who wrote it. But there is a confidence within the law of God that allows those who have written it to understand that there is a blessing that comes from walking in the right way. And that's how Psalm starts. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, talking about the one who relies on God's word, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. We're clearly talking about from a spiritual standpoint, but the physical principle is there as well. And then he says this, not so the wicked. They're like the chaff. The wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. And look at this promise. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. God is going to take care of us if we walk in His way. And we don't have to worry about all the things that we get to worrying about when we're physically minded. It's not that we don't still have concerns, and it's not that we still don't have challenges in life. There are things that will happen to us in life that will take our breath away. There are things that happen in life that will bring us to our knees from time to time. But from a spiritual standpoint, from an eternal standpoint, God has us taken care of. And He wants us to enjoy a peace because of that. The 23rd Psalm, probably the most familiar passage within the Bible. It's certainly one of the most used. And you can see why, because of the comfort it brings. This is a Psalm of David. When you think about what David went through, when you think about the fact that David was a faithful man to God, but because of that faithfulness, he was persecuted by his own king, to whom David was loyal. He was chased by the armies of the nation that he loved. His life was continually threatened for years and years. He had people within his own family that wanted to kill him. He did not have a normal life in a lot of different ways. But the thing that was remarkable about David was David always looked to God for his strength. There was a time or two, I realized, where he stumbled. But the large part of his life, he relied on God. And so here's what he says, and you know the words. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. I'm convinced one of the great problems that we have within our lives, when we have turmoil within our lives, is we refuse to lie down by those quiet waters that God provides for us. Instead, we go to the tumultuous waters or the difficulties of life. And David is just saying, He leads me there. He takes him to peace. He guides me in path. But let me read this first part. He restores my soul. When you and I are apart from God, when you and I find ourselves in a lost position, but God can bring us back, and we can have that soul that is lost because of our own sin. When we can have it brought back to God and have Him restore our soul, I want to say again, as with everything else that we're looking at tonight, it changes our lives. It gives us a peace. It gives us a confidence because we know He's taken care of us, and we know that the most important thing in our life, our eternal soul, is taken care of. He restores my soul. Well, Galen works for the railroad, and I have an idea that with some of the things that he has worked around, he's seen some pretty bad accidents through the years. And you have seen probably some fairly bad accidents where automobiles or trains or something else is just mangled. And you look at it, and from a human standpoint, it cannot be brought back. It's destroyed. I think there are times in people's lives where they feel like their lives are like that. They feel like their souls are like that. But the beauty about God is He can restore our soul from the worst accident, whether it was not our fault or whether it was something we brought on ourselves. He can restore our soul. We can be pure and whole again. That does not mean that we're going to have an easy walk through life all the time because of that. There will still be people who will let us down. There will be people who do what they should not do. But from our perspective, He restores our soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's what the Word of God is. It is a guide. Are you using it? Because if you are, you get the guide that gives you paths of righteousness. You get the right path. And we get that for His name's sake. And then David says this, and he's somebody who knows something about death. He's a warrior. He's been a warrior for a good part of his life. Fighting for God, by the way. Fighting on God's side, but he is one who has seen a lot. And he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Somebody once said that courage is not the absence of fear, but it's the overcoming of fear. That was what David had. He was able to trust in God to the point where he could overcome his fear and still do the task that was at hand. I will fear no evil, David said, and he gave the reason why. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. When I was a kid, I do not remember worrying about whether or not we were going to have a roof over our head. When I was a kid, I don't remember worrying about being hungry. When I was a teenager, I was hungry a lot. But I wasn't worried about it. I wasn't worried about being clothed properly. I wasn't worried about bad guys coming in and attacking us. And you know why? Because I had good parents. I had parents who took care of those things. And looking back on it now, I see how they did it because they relied upon God. But they did their part. But when you're a child in a good family, in a good situation, you don't concern yourself. You don't worry about things that somebody is taking care of for you. I think one of the reasons that we go through life with so much turmoil is because we forget that God is with us. Or perhaps we have taken the great shepherd of our life and we've asked him to excuse himself. And so we no longer have him shepherding us. But when you and I rely on God, we have the perfect Father who will take care of every rightful need that we have, who will give us every opportunity to make sure that anything that is needed for His service will be provided. We still have to do something about it. I know I've mentioned this several times lately, but I love the sentiment. He did promise that He would take care, He would feed the birds of the air, but He does not throw the worms into their nest. He just makes sure they're available for them to go out should they choose to do their part. We still have our part to do. But isn't it nice to have the perfect shepherd watching over us? You don't have to worry about wolves getting in. You don't have to worry about the lions carrying you off because God is there. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We know we have that protection. Then he says this, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Even during the most difficult times, God takes care of our basic needs. And there's something else that's beyond that that I think is significant. In the presence of my enemies mean that our enemies see God taking care of us. That's really significant when you think about it, because then they realize that they cannot defeat you. But we've got to let them know that we see God, and they've got to see God in our life. But when it says you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, that's a very powerful statement. It gives us, I believe, a confidence that our enemies cannot do anything to us that God does not want them to do to us, where we cannot survive anything that they can do to us. I don't mean to say that sin is not still sin and that people will not violate God's will, because they will. But He'll still take care of us. And then He says this, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." David knew something about an anointing because he had received an anointing from God. He received the physical anointing from Samuel the prophet. It was to show that he was set apart. It was to show that he would be king someday, that God had chosen him. But there is also a spiritual anointing that David received. He had absolute an absolute anointing from the Holy Spirit that allowed him to do things that he could not have otherwise done. You cannot explain somebody taking a lion by the hair or a bear by the hair and striking them dead without understanding that God was with him and that the Holy Spirit protected him. And David was very quick to acknowledge that. And I'm not suggesting for a moment that we can do these miraculous things that David was given. But we have an anointing as well. And that anointing it's a protection from spiritual and sinful matters. God will take care of us. One of the reasons that David could say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want," was because he recognized that anointing. "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." Have you ever thought about that? How much God has done for us. Seems like we spend a great part of our life thinking about what we don't have. Seems like we spend a great part of our life thinking about the things that we would like but that aren't present. And we miss out on a great part of our life that's good. There will be people that will let us down, but there are also people who will buoy us up. There will be times that we struggle, but there will also be times that we have great successes. There is sin in this world, but we can overcome the sin in this world because Jesus has said to us, "I'll trade you burdens. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." We have that promise. And so this is what David says to conclude. "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a beautiful thing we've been given. That's because God loves us. I want to say again, we have our part to do. If you and I will do our little part that He requires of us, if we'll carry that small burden, that manageable burden that He gives to us, we're not only going to get through this life, we're not only going to survive this life, but we're going to do very well through this life, and we're going to be able to help a lot of people along the way. And someday we'll be in heaven forever. Not because we deserve it, but because God is faithful to His promises. What a wonderful thing we have in God. "Come to me, you who are burdened, and I will give you rest." I want to offer the invitation this evening. If anyone needs to respond, won't you do that while we stand and sing?